The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
How about this? Miles Garrett. Last time we saw him, he was playing basketball. Now he's jumping into the hoop. DeMarcus Ware, who's been retired for several years.
Wow.
Undeterred. Take that. I think what's more impressive is not tumbling over once you land on top of the box.
I mean, either one are impressive. Miles Garrett did it from standing still, right? I mean, that's the impressive thing. And, I mean, I don't know. You sounded like you weren't that impressed before we start the show. You didn't think it was that big of a deal. So, you know, yeah, hey there, big old boy. Good morning, Thursday morning. How you doing? But that is pretty amazing. I mean, Miles Garrett to be that big, to dunk the way he can, to jump the way he can. And I love the video content, Mike. I think it's nice and refreshing and to watch.
Everything that happens before the show is off the record. My point is that, and this is the age that we live in now.
Yes,
there's a certain look at me quality to these videos. You know, whether it's James Harrison posting a workout video every other day like he used to do. He doesn't do that anymore. At least I just don't notice. But it's impressive feats that, you know, I'd love to see them do that on a football field. Seeing guys jump up in the air like that, you know, it's a little bit different when you got pads on, but it just shows you what special athletes these guys are, despite the look at me quality of it.
Yes.
They are incredible physical specimens. Not that we had any doubt about that. I'm still more impressed by Miles Garrett and his basketball prowess.
Yeah.
And to the point where Kevin Stefanski joked yesterday on PFTPM that one of these NBA teams should sign him to a 10-day contract. And he also said he's fine with Garrett playing basketball within reason.
Cool.
In the offseason. Remember 2 years ago when Patrick Mahomes was doing it, Brett Veach, the GM of the team, shut it down immediately.
No, I do think that's cool. I mean, you know, what you said about Miles Garrett, listen, you're right. It's the world we're in right now. It's build your brand. I do think it's cool to see that. I'm a workout junkie kind of guy. So I like to see that. And then I do think there's people out there to look at or go, wait, how is this guy training? Young athletes, and they can like kind of take after him a little bit. It does set an example that way. But I'm with you, and I'd love to see more of the, like on the basketball court, like do other things in athletics and see how it translates and all that. And I give Kevin Stefanski a lot of credit. I really do. You know, I'll say that about John Gruden in my career, Mike. He was really cool with us playing basketball in the offseason, and I love that about him. He knew that, like, there was a handful of us that were going to go and play pickup, like, for real basketball for 2 hours, about two or three nights a week. And really, they gave us a little leeway with our workouts because of it. So they knew we started to play so much basketball that they were like, okay, you don't have to do this full run training workout we got today. We kind of know you guys go out and work hard and do all that stuff. And hey, being an athlete's being an athlete. You know, training's great, but nothing beats like running up and down the court and getting down in position and trying to play defense and do that. There is some translation there, of course, to football as well. And you know, you don't want to lose that natural athletic sense that you have as a player.
Well, it's competitive fire. Plus, right. you get your workout in a way that isn't monotonous, in a way that doesn't feel like drudgery, in a way that is fun. And
yes,
and I think that it makes plenty of sense. Every once in a while, somebody gets injured. I think Terrell Suggs,
the last
when he
one,
tore
right?
his Achilles tendon the first time around, yeah. Everybody was hush-hush about how he did it. The thinking was he did it playing basketball, and there was a concern the team was going to call it a non-football injury and not pay him. But the alternative is sitting on the couch watching bowling and eating pork rinds. And if you're an NFL team, you take the incremental risk of an injury while a guy is playing basketball. I mean, what's more likely, to get injured playing basketball or get injured doing that box jump? I mean, that box jump is a serious physical act that could really strain one of the various ligaments and tendons and muscles in your legs.
Yeah.
But these are freaky physical athletes, and you know, you want them to stay in shape, and there's a risk that whatever they do to stay in shape, they're going to get injured.
I got 20 stitches on a box jump once. Because it was the metal boxes, right? And I mean, my foot just kind of slipped off, and my shin hit the corner of the box, and it split my leg open. So you're right. There's just as much risk in that. And then the big thing is, too, like you mentioned it all, it is. There's some translation. And as long as you're in an environment playing basketball that you trust the other people. You know, we had a great community in Tampa, and that's what we did have to tell Coach Gruden. Like, no, it's not a bunch of Johnny Tough guys who were trying to prove themselves. It was a bunch of ex-college basketball players and people like that who weren't like out to like, oh, I dunked in Chris Sims' face, or, you know, I dunked in Dwight Smith's face and did all that type of stuff. So it was real good, friendly competition. And as long as you have that atmosphere, you know, it is not too much of a danger.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you got 20 stitches in your leg,
right.
Did that happen at your house or somebody else's house?
No, it actually happened at a gym, like at a you know, a public gym, right? Yeah.
Better call Saul. Why in the world, really,
yeah.
Would they have box jumps with something hazardous on them that would give someone 20 stitches? This is the lawyer in me coming out.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is stupid that they would do it. This is negligent that they would do it. I didn't see any metal edges on the boxes that DeMarcus Ware or Myles Garrett were jumping on.
No, you know, I don't know why. It's just what they had, and I can't explain that. And they probably were like, "What? This is the only idiot in this gym that does these jumps." So they weren't probably thinking. I had stacked two on top of each other, kind of not nearly as high as that. But, yeah, I missed a little, and that was that. And, yeah, I got a little scar on my leg from it.
Is it next to the Kyle Shanahan initial tattoo?
No. Thank you. You're funny.
Just making sure. Yeah, I mean, you don't want you pay good money for that tattoo. You don't want it to be ruined by
a
scar.
Yep. The dirty the only Diana thing more permanent and Big Phil than the paid tattoo. For that one. They paid for that one.
All right. Let's get into it. The New York Jets,
yeah.
Who hold the second overall pick in the draft. They may have been listening to you yesterday when you made it clear they should run to the podium to take Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, if and when the Jaguars take Trevor Lawrence with the first pick in the draft. The question of whether or not the Jets will trade Sam Darnold. Previous reports indicated that they would make a decision after they evaluate the incoming draft class. Joe Douglas, the GM of the team, meeting with the media yesterday on the question of whether he is willing to entertain trade offers for Sam Darnold. Here he is.
I will answer the call, you know, if it's made. And so, you know, as it pertains to Sam, I mean, Sam's a dynamic player in this league with unbelievable talent, and who's really, really has a chance to really hit his outstanding potential moving forward. But, you know, like I said earlier, if calls are made, I will answer them.
That's the next best thing to taking the for sale sign with a mallet out into the yard and just banging it into the ground, because it sounds like the Jets, who gave up the 6th overall pick and 3 second rounders to move up to number 3 years ago to get Sam Darnold, are ready to get what they can for him, because they know they're getting a franchise quarterback or a potential franchise quarterback with the 2nd pick in the draft. It's going to be Zach Wilson or it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Either way, fine by us. Let's go ahead and get value while we can for Sam Darnold before some of these other teams out there that are looking for quarterbacks address their needs elsewhere.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Jets are, you know, in my opinion, in an unbelievable position. They really are. As you know, and we've discussed a lot, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I do think you could still win football games with him. I still think he has talent. Like we've talked about, it hasn't been much of a supporting cast. You know, I think there's enough positives that I've seen over the few years to go, hey, if they can just help him out a little bit, you can win games with him. Now, you know my thoughts about Zach Wilson. Yeah, I think Zach Wilson's special out of BYU. But that's and we'll see. I think there's people in the NFL that think that as well. But we're going to see what that is. But with them, they have so many options. It's, you know, keep Sam Darnold, okay? It's trade Sam Darnold and draft a Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence, who's ever there. And I expect it to be Zach Wilson's who's there, because I still think Jacksonville's going to take Trevor Lawrence. I do. There's too many dots to connect there that makes sense to me. But also in the fact that, you know, they could come to the determination and just go, wait, we like Sam Darnold. We'll sit here and we'll just see what gets thrown at us. Is there a team that's going to get real, real thirsty for Zach Wilson and throw out a unbelievable trade package to get him? And now they could be sitting pretty, and maybe they're the ones that move down a few spots but collect a few second rounders and things like that. So from that aspect, man, the Jets have a lot of options, and Joe Douglas is going to have his work cut out for him as far as how he wants to work this out and play this game.
One of the reasons to make a move on Darnold is before May 3, that's when the fifth-year option kicks in. And if they're going to take a quarterback, you don't want the fifth-year option. That's now, as of this year, I finally researched it, refreshed my memory, fully guaranteed the moment that it's exercised, not right, just guaranteed for injury. So I'd say May 3 is the absolute deadline for getting Darnold to another team. This year he's due to make roughly $4.8 million in total compensation in the last year of his rookie contract. They've paid out a lot. He got a $20 million signing bonus at the 3rd overall pick in the draft. And hey, I said with him then what I'll say again now. Franchise quarterbacks, typically the easiest way to find them in the draft, specifically top of the draft.
Yeah.
If you have an opportunity to get one that you think is going to be a franchise quarterback, you do it. If it works, awesome. If it doesn't, you'll be back there again soon enough to try again with a new GM and a new head coach,
yeah, right,
but you'll still be back again to try again before too long.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And with the no, you know, with the rookie salary cap and all of that now, I mean, it's just not that hard to move on. So this is what, you know, they're going to have to weigh this. This is why Joe Douglas gets paid the big bucks, and Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur. They're going to have to evaluate this, figure out what's best for their organization. You know, as you heard me say yesterday, you know, again, I'm a Sam Darnold fan. I won't be mad if the Jets keep him. And he does fit that system, the Shanahan, Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur style of play. There's no doubt he could play in that system, and I think he can thrive. But when I look at Zach Wilson, I just go, it's more than fit in that system. It's he's the perfect guy for that system, like perfect. He's Aaron Rodgers, like we're seeing up in Green Bay right now. You know, so there's that, except he's going to be younger and more athletic and those type of things right now. So that's where I get excited if I'm a Jets or a Jets fan or anything like that. And we'll see where they go. But they got a great spot to be in at number 2. And we'll see where it goes.
Question from Nathan Flesher on Twitter. Is Zach Wilson so good that you would advise the Houston Texans to prioritize trading Watson to the Jets in a package that would include the pick, allowing the Texans to get Wilson for themselves?
Yeah, well, I guess yes. I mean, you know, Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be there. I mean, that's very apparent now. I mean, Zach Wilson, when I say he's Rodgers or Mahomes, that's, you know, I think he's the damn man right there. So, yes, he's worth that. But, you know, what is going to be the other aspects of that trade again, you know, too? That's what you'd have to figure out. And are the Jets, you know, I don't know. That's an interesting proposition. And I'd have to kind of look that and figure that out, what that trade value would be exactly to figure that. Because really, Mike, when you think about that, okay, the Texans, where they're picking, they're going to have to trade up. Of course, they're trading a proven commodity for a guy who, yes, we don't know about yet, but, you know, I think is special. And, of course, he costs a lot less money, too, than Deshaun Watson. So there's that aspect of it. So I'd have to work out kind of the trade particulars there to try to figure that out. But it's an interesting thought nonetheless. My big thing with the Jets, just as you always have heard, there's just so many holes on the roster. I don't want to see them give up, you know, the kitchen sink and the house and everything just to get one guy. And then we're sitting here, hey, we got one guy who's a superstar, but we got a lot of crap around him again. And that's where I think, you know, the Jets got to be careful, because they got a lot of holes to fill on that team.
And remember this, it's not the second overall pick. It's trading for Zach Wilson
player.
Or Trevor Lawrence, worst case scenario. So that changes the value. That changes the dynamic. And if the Texans happen to fall in love with Zach Wilson, and really, whatever the Texans do, if they give in to Deshaun Watson's trade demand, they need to have a quarterback moving forward.
Right.
And if Nick Caserio starts watching a bunch of Zach Wilson film and reacts the same way you did, all of a sudden, there's a potential strategy for giving Watson what he wants. You get Zach Wilson, and maybe you don't need to give up as much other stuff if you're the Jets.
Yeah.
If Caserio falls in love with Wilson. Of course, then it becomes the poker game of bluffing and keeping your cards close to the vest and not acting like you love a guy that you truly love. That's a big part of the silly but very real aspect of the draft. You act like you don't like the guys you like, and you act like you like the guys you don't. But that's part of it, because it's no longer the second overall pick once it becomes cemented that it's Zach Wilson. You're trading Zach Wilson, not just some nameless, faceless pick in a draft.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, you think if you're making that trade, you're making it to, we want this guy, a la like the Eagles did with Carson Wentz back in the day, right? They made a move. They had the information that the Rams were going to go Goff, and okay, we're trading up to go to this and get this guy. It's an interesting conversation, and it's a very good question. And what the value of that is, I don't know. I'd have to kind of think about that a little bit, because I'm just seeing this question myself here as we sit down and do this. But man, I'm excited for what the Jets have in front of them. I really am, because of all those options we've talked about. You know, listen, I'm a Giants fan here in New York. I'm not the kind of Giants fan that like hates the New York Jets. I don't. And, of course, with Robert Saleh coming from, you know, Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, I'm rooting for him, and I've liked a lot of what Joe Douglas has done, too. So I'm excited to see how they approach this. And, yeah, they're gonna have to play chess here in this one, and it's going to be one of the themes of the offseason. And in that aspect, the Deshaun Watson trade to the Jets maybe is not dead when you talk about it like that, to where I would have gone, no, you don't do that, don't do it, don't do it. But there, like you said, it might lessen the value to where you don't have to give up too much to do it. And it's an interesting angle to kind of wrap your head around.
One key aspect of that conversation is Deshaun Watson has to
buy in
to play for the Jets,
right,
and waive his no trade clause. I always thought Giants fans didn't care about the Jets because they weren't threatened by the Jets, because the Jets perennially stink.
Well, yeah, I think that's I think that's fair.
If they were good, you'd have a different feeling
maybe
about it. If
yeah,
they'd won four Super Bowls since 1986 and you're waiting for your second one after 50
exactly
years, you'd feel differently about the Jets.
Probably. You're exactly right. It's a little bit like the Yankees and the Mets. Like, I don't hate the Mets because they're not a threat to the Yankees at all. I go, no, I hate the Red Sox. I don't care about the Mets. And Pete's booing me. Yeah, Pete, sorry. Poor life decision by you in choosing the Mets. I don't know what you did there. But
I think is Pete the only New Yorker who likes the Giants and the Mets?
It's
I
a
thought
rare
it was
combo.
Giants, Yankees,
yeah,
or Jets, Mets.
It's a rare
right?
combo. Yeah, it is a rare combo. There's a few every now and then. And, of course, it would be Pete who does that. Yes, I mean, of course that's him. It makes sense.
The Matt Casey chimes in, at least we have a soul. So
good, okay.
he is Mets Jets.
He is.
I'm trying to keep all this straight.
Right.
Okay. Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
There's been talk about Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson has put the Raiders on the list of four teams for which he'd accept a trade. And then David Carr says, hey, any team that Russell Wilson is willing to play for should have called yesterday, not realizing, not having the synapses connect in his own brain that his brother Derek is the current quarterback for the Raiders and they wouldn't have Derek Carr and Russell Wilson on the same team. Mike Mayock, the general manager of the Raiders, meeting with the media yesterday, talking about Derek Carr and more specifically how he and Coach John Gruden feel currently about Derek Carr. Here's Mayock.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. So you have to do the evaluations both on your own players and every other player in the league. And you got to stack your boards and understand what league value is all around the league. And we do that. But if you're asking me about Derek, I mean, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
Yeah, there was still some of that equivocation in what Mayock said. He's been very candid the past couple of years. You're always looking for an upgrade at every position, including quarterback. And if somebody calls, if something falls into their laps, you know, if, for example, a franchise quarterback like Russell Wilson makes it known that he would accept the trade to the Raiders, then you do something about it. And I think by the time Mike Mayock said what he said yesterday, that was 6 days since Russell Wilson's agent, Mark Rogers, made it clear that Wilson would accept the trade to the Raiders.
Right.
In those 6 days, you can't tell me they didn't explore the possibilities, that they didn't have some conversation on or off the record, off the grid, quietly, privately, with a couple of tin cans and a string, whatever the case may be, to find out whether or not there was any way to piece together a trade package the Seahawks would accept. Then you love the one you're with. Then you renew your vows
because
sure. You know you're not getting an upgrade this year. So, yeah, Derek Carr's our guy. And like any other player in the NFL, insert the name of the player, is our guy, until he isn't. And you never know when that moment's going to come because it hinges on having a better player fall into your lap.
No, unless you're like a really young rookie superstar where, you know, people see like, okay, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, right? Or you're like a top five quarterback in the league. Sorry. Yeah. Everybody else is it's open for business. That's part of the NFL. It just doesn't matter. That is just the brutal facts of the NFL. It's a brutal league. It's a brutal business to be involved in. There's no doubt about that, you know, and Mike Mayock and John Gruden, hey, they're saying the right things there. I do think, you know, I think you're probably right. They probably go, okay, wait, what would it take to get him? And they probably looked at it and went, man, what? I mean, we've heard them make comments already about, like, they need defensive players. They're a little, like, I don't want to say that's like the Jets, but there's just too many holes on the team for me right now to think, hey, we're going to get this one guy and we're not going to be able to fill a bunch of these holes we need. And you've heard me say a lot over the last few weeks, you know, I do think, I mean, Derek, I think he's right. Like we said this last week, Derek Carr played top 10 football last year. He was right on the edge of one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the game. I don't think he was top 10. He's probably 11, 12, somewhere in there, right?
Well, Matt Ryan's 11.
Right.
Matt Ryan's
11. But right around that area, there's no doubt. And I do think also within that, the value of what I said, he's wired the computer. He's wired the robot, finally. It's he's an extension of John Gruden. He's got every code word and check and it's 98 bunch crunch and this one. It's this blitz, it's 200 jet smoke. Oh, okay, it's 58 Lexus when I do this. Oh, it's Apple 314 hammer. I mean, oh, it's 72 bingo, which is Z bingo, U split. I mean, so he's finally got a quarterback in his system that's really, you know, wired in, and he's got a little talent to go along with it. And he's a worker. And he does love the sport. And from that aspect, you know, you got to love that and appreciate that. And I don't think you just sell a guy out the, you know, down the river, you know, especially when you have a defense and a front seven that really doesn't have one difference maker on the team. And that's really the biggest issue on their football team.
With all that said, the moment they can upgrade in a way that makes sense for them is the moment they'll do it. And you know, you mentioned a Joe Burrow, a Justin Herbert, a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
You got to stay there
Yes, you got to stay there.
If you slip, right. They'll find somebody else.
Yes.
I mean, professional sports is the ultimate meritocracy, and that's good and bad. You get a fair shake, but everyone else does too. So once you've arrived, all that means is you got to bust your ass to stay. Because if you slip at all, they're going to find somebody else who's better than you and or dollar for dollar a better value than you. And that was the thing that always motivated Tom Brady in New England, because he knew Bill Belichick would have done that to him. And I tell you, I've heard time and again, and we've had this conversation, and people lose their minds when I say it. Tom Brady consistently took less in New England, not because he had this grand vision to be a great teammate and leave money behind. That's a great way to spin it.
Yes.
Once you do it.
Right.
He did it because he didn't want Bill Belichick to wake up one day and say, what are my options? What are my opportunities? I'm paying Tom Brady too much money. I can get somebody else that can be dollar for dollar better than Tom Brady. Now, maybe he's finding out that it's not as easy as he thought it was, but that mindset's always there.
Well, you're right. I mean, listen, I lived that with John Gruden. He was always looking for, you know, and I just kept bring him in. All right, I'm going to crap on this guy and beat his butt every day in practice. Go ahead. Sorry about the language. Sorry, Manchester and all the other cities in London, or in England and London. But, but you're right. I mean, with the Brady thing, I know it's one of those storybook storylines where you're just like, what? I mean, that's not how it really went down. When he was awesome early in his career, he wouldn't accept one penny less than Peyton Manning. I mean, that was literally what it was. And then he went through a rough patch in his career, 2011, 12, 13, and he wasn't playing like a top five quarterback, and he needed them at that point more than they needed him. And that's when he, okay, I'll take less. And then in 2014, he changed his game. That was the change. That was right there. And then he got the power and was like, oh, screw you, Bill in New England. I'm pretty damn good again. Now you need me just as bad. And that's where it got a little, you know, friction there at the end and everything with that. But you're exactly right. And that's life in the NFL. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's been too many legends that have been pushed away. It doesn't matter. I mean, Peyton Manning, he was coming off surgery, but they were, hey, push him out the door. We got to go get somewhere else. You're getting old. You got issues, all of that. You know, nobody is going to be shielded from that in your NFL career ever. You're going to have to fight through some moments where, you don't maybe play like a top five quarterback and things like that. And there is going to be competition. And the good coaches know that. And they can press the buttons on some of these quarterbacks and make them play and work hard and worry about their job. And it raises their game within that.
One way to have guaranteed employment in the NFL is to be great. Another way is to be pretty damn good, but also have the circumstances line up in a way that favors your ongoing employment. That brings us to the Minnesota Vikings and general manager Rick Spielman, who, by the way, will be a guest later today on PFT PM. Spielman yesterday addressing the rumors that have been ricocheting around the NFL that maybe the Vikings would be willing to trade quarterback Kirk Cousins. Here's Spielman.
Yeah, I think Coach Zim put that to bed when he spoke after the season. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. I know there's a lot of rumors floating around out there, but Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We felt that he played very well and probably the best he's ever played down that stretch last year and the way he played. So, Kirk's our quarterback going forward, and look forward to him another year in his system, and excited for him and what he's going to bring to our team next year.
That little tell there, looking forward to another year in this system. It's like, oh, crap, you know, Gary Kubiak's gone, and we hope Klein is the answer.
You okay?
The system won't be what it was. He does the quick little – it's a little tell there.
Oh, okay. Anytime, hey, don't play poker with Mike, tell. Rick. Don't play poker with Mike. He's got you. He's got you down. It's like the Rounders when he twists the Oreo, right? And he hears it in his ear, or he does that right in his ear, and then he knows –
Teddy KGB.
Teddy KGB. You okay, though? You all right? You going to make it? What is today? Love me not or love me yesterday? Or what? How do we feel about it today?
Every day is an accept reality day because there isn't a damn thing I can do about it. Look, here's the reality for the Vikings. I've said this before. They need Kirk Cousins this year.
Yeah.
Because this is the year that if they don't fulfill what has become kind of a depressing trend, No playoffs in the even number years, playoffs in the odd numbered years. This is a playoff year. You know, for as well as he played last year, they didn't get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this year, I think, is the worst year for them to potentially try out a different quarterback, because if they don't get to the playoffs after this year, there could be some changes made in Minnesota. Cousins helps them avoid the changes and checks the box on odd numbered year playoffs. So if you get to the playoffs in the odd numbered year, you can get away with no playoffs in the even numbered year, and then you're back at it 2023, pressure's back on to get to the playoffs again. And yeah, my take on the Vikings has become, and I've been candid about this. I've written about it, spoken about it. I feel like organizationally, they are willing to be just good enough to just be in contention. You know, that's how you make your money as a professional football team. You don't have to be a Super Bowl champion. You just have to be good enough that you're interesting, that you're relevant, that you're in the mix for a postseason berth every year up until week 16 or 17. And 1 year you get in and 1 year you don't. And when we get to the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. That's icing on top of the icing on top of the cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake at that point. What matters is making money. And the way you make money is you be relevant every year, not burn out and go all in 1 year. And then the next year or the year after, you're like, how in the hell are we ever going to get back to the playoffs? They're content to just have kind of that, you know, 1 year in, 1 year out, and just kind of, and that I feel like that's where they are as an organization. They're content.
You're hilarious.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong. You're wrong. Bring that theory up to Rick today on PFTPM, okay?
I will.
I don't think he's sitting there going, hey, I just want to stay in the middle. Me and Zimmer want to stay in the middle. That's what we're doing here.
No, not the middle. Not the middle.
Okay, just
enough above the middle.
Right.
So the stadium is full, the fan base is engaged, and every year the carrot dangles, right? For all those Vikings fans that have said, we would just like to win one championship in our lifetimes, they're dangling the carrot there so every year they can delude themselves at some point in the offseason into thinking that this year is the year. I feel like that's the scam at this point.
You're unbelievable.
Again, when these teams tell us we want to win the Super Bowl this year, they are lying to you. Yeah, they'd like to. It would be nice. What they want to do is fill the stadium and make as much money as possible. It's business, and they don't want us to say it's business. It's okay to love football and still regard it for what it is. Hey, plenty of people love wrestling even though they know it's fake. Football is business. We can love football and say it's still a business, and that allows us to understand why teams do what they do. But if your measure of success is winning the Super Bowl, 31 teams are going to be pissed off, sorry, London, every year.
Okay.
That's just how it works.
Well, yeah, of course. Yes, that is how it works. But I don't think they're sitting back playing to be just above the middle of the pack. I don't. You know, they've done a lot of great things. They really have. They were in the NFC Championship game not too long ago. Yeah, they had they had a quarterback, too, that had a freak injury, and that threw things off. They pushed the chips into the middle of the table a few times. They've drafted really well. Okay, it hasn't worked out to Mike Florio's liking. But I'm not going to accept that you're just saying that Spielman and them want to be right above the middle of the pack. I'm not. And Kirk Cousins, listen, again, like Derek Carr, it's okay. Yes, he's not a superstar. But for the way they play in that offense, again, another guy that's top 10-ish in the league, and show me a better option. You know, again, okay, show me a better option they can have at quarterback right now than Kirk Cousins. Damn, he makes a lot of big throws and big plays. He's an easy guy to jump on. I know. He kind of looks like a nerd a little bit, and it's not like sexy flair, and he's in a division with Aaron Rodgers just throwing missiles between his legs and around his head, and it makes him look ordinary at times. But damn, he makes a lot of plays. And, yeah, right now, what I respect about the Vikings is, I mean, here they are. They're kind of rebuilding, and last year they're 7-9, and we're in the thick of things. They wiped the slate clean a little bit last year and still played competitive. So I'm not giving up on your team. Obviously, today is a love-you-not day with the Minnesota Vikings, but I have a lot of respect for what they do up there, and I don't buy your just a little above average take there. Sorry.
Well, that's what they've been. I mean, look, Regardless of what the motivation is, what the plan is, what the objective is, that's where they are. That's who they are.
They traded for Yannick Ngakoue last year. They tried to make a
move. And then they traded him away the moment they hit a rough patch, and it would have been nice to have him down the stretch if you're the Vikings.
Well, okay. But, you know, I think they realized they got Yannick Ngakoue. They realized, wait, to your point, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year and do this. We're not there. So they're going, all right, let's just maybe take a step back so we can take two or three steps forward here in the next few years and really build something. And they got a team that was kind of desperate in the Ravens to get a pass rusher, and they went for it. So I like the way they run their football team. You know, not everybody's the New England Patriots and can go and just win Super Bowls every year. That's what's special about that football team. Man, the rest of the league, it's – you know, they're struggling for the most part on a year-to-year basis, unless you're Kansas City right now because you got Patrick Mahomes and maybe Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And everybody else is fighting for their damn life. So, I'm going to push back on you with that one, Mr. Purple People Eater.
I came to the conclusion when we were in Santa Clara a year and a couple of months ago for the Vikings 49ers divisional round game that – there's always going to be a dominant team in the NFC that the Vikings run into and get smoked by in the postseason. I just feel like they're not constituted to be a team that can match whatever that dominant team is that pops up in a given year. And I mean, I've been following it for 50 years.
I know.
It's 45 years now since their last Super Bowl berth, and they've lost six or seven NFC championships.
I was at one of them, the one at Giant Stadium. That was a good day.
That was the one where they were the
it was over by 3 minutes in the game. It was over.
Well, it was over 3 minutes into the game. First of all, Randy Moss has a temper tantrum on the sidelines before the game because he couldn't get people down onto the sideline that he wanted there. I mean, come on, focus on the football game. And then there was the Troy Walters who let a kickoff land right in front of him and looked at it after 7-0. The Giants recovered. It's 14-0. And then that weird urban legend about the Giants having intercepted the Vikings coaching communications. It was never proven, but that was floating around.
Huh.
I don't know that anything would have mattered that day.
No, I don't think so.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Because you're a Viking fan.
I'm willing. Maybe I'll make a trade with, or at least an offer for Rick Spielman. Just deliver one Super Bowl trophy. However you have to do it, dredge the bottom of Hillsborough River, whatever you have to do, get a Super Bowl trophy, and I'll leave you alone for the rest of my life.
Hey, bring this up. This will be great stuff. I mean, please, ask him all these questions. Do this later on today, and we'll talk about it next week. Please don't waste it tomorrow when I'm not here. I want to be able to dive into this and really dissect the conversation.
I'll have to save it until later in the conversation because if I do it early enough, it may be a fairly short interview. So I'll have to work up to it.
Yeah, you will.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, the reaction, mild, restrained, reasonable,
sure,
as Twitter always seems to be.
Yeah, right.
To Chris Sims' quarterback rankings that had a couple of curveballs that got people all hot and bothered yesterday. We'll talk about that next here on PFT.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
There's the graphic that shook things up considerably yesterday, from Zach Wilson above Trevor Lawrence for number one to Kellen Mond from Texas A&M above Justin Fields and Trey Lance. Chris, even Shireen Williams, the most devoted Aggie on the planet, thought you were smoking something other than tobacco when you put Kellen Mond ahead of Justin Fields and Trey Lance.
Well, you know, listen, this is why, you know, NBC pays me money, and this is what I do. Okay, and Shireen, no, I'm not smoking anything. I've been on a very long detox session here, and I'm quite sick of it, actually. So, you know, but honestly, you know, I didn't go in this. I don't go in this with preconceived notions or let me do this. You know, as I told you yesterday, you know, my dad had put Mond on my radar a little bit during the year. When I dove into doing the quarterback stuff, you know, I started to crack through. He kept going, like, have you watched the Mond kid? Have you watched the Mond kid? And I got into it. And, you know, what I would say to Shireen is, well, Shireen, what's there not to like? I mean, it's an unbelievable arm. The accuracy's off the charts. He throws into tight windows. He can throw under pressure. He can do everything. He understands how to, like, not make big mistakes. It's one of the cleaner tapes of all these guys. I mean, it is noticeably cleaner than Ohio State, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or any of that. There's, to me, a little bit of a notch there. Now, Ohio State is really good. It's superstars all over the field, okay? And that can make things look sexy and all that, too. And Ryan Day is a hell of an offensive coordinator, and people are open a lot, too. But, man, I'm not going to back down from this Kellen Mond thing. It's real. The MVP of the Senior Bowl, and – He was one of the pleasant surprises of this process. So I'm not backing down from Kellen Mond. I really love it.
Question from a Dolphins fan, Degon Draft. Should the Dolphins take one of your top quarterbacks with the third selection in the draft? Because it sounds like there's still going to be someone pretty special available after the first two guys go.
It's going to be a very tough decision. There's no doubt. You know, my first thing would be, if Zach Wilson's there, then yes, I would go with him. Again, I think he's that special to where you just go, whoa. You know, again, I don't throw Favre, Rodgers, Mahomes, that type of player around to, like, people every year. I don't do that, you know. This guy's got that aspect to him. So from that standpoint, without a doubt, you know, do I think Mac Jones is better than Tua coming out? I do. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. Mac Jones is got a lot of special attributes. He really does. He is a dead-eye thrower. I mean, every ball is on the money. He can throw under pressure. He's got plenty of arm power. It's better than what people are giving him credit for. And the movement and stuff he can do there is special too. So as one of those three, yeah, I would think about it. I would think about it. But, of course, that's going to come down to their evaluation and what they think about this process too. And, of course, if Deshaun Watson becomes available, maybe they decide to do that as well.
Boy, that would be something if the Dolphins, a year after taking Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa,
right,
would take Alabama quarterback Mac Jones.
Mac
Eagles
Jones.
Question.
Oh, sorry. I was
Go
just going to say one thing.
Go ahead.
It is one of the more, like I said yesterday, it's Joe Burrow-ish as far as his ability to read the field and dissect and pull the trigger almost just seamlessly without you're like, wait, how did he even evaluate it that quick and make that throw just flipping across the field like that? And, you know, he played an all-SEC schedule this year. And look at this. I mean, this is one of the greater schedules anybody has ever played in the history of college football. And he dominated. And he didn't have four first-round receivers on his team. He only had one for the most of the year. That was it. And I really still, I'm going to go back to the way he's kind of looks like a nerd. And he doesn't look cool in his uniform. And I think that's really hurt the hype thing. I hear it from everybody. I really think that's hurt his hype in this whole situation. Sorry.
Where would you put Tua in this group of 2021 quarterbacks, where would he land in your top six?
Oh, I like the top four better than I like Tua. So he'd probably be, you know, Justin Fields and Trey Lance are, you're going to play a different style of football, in my opinion, when you first get them. You are. They're a little too unpolished as pure throwers and pocket passers at this point. So, like, his talent and ceiling is not as high as a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance, but Tua brings a lot of good things to the table, and I don't want to disrespect that. And I think if I was to inject him into that class, I'd probably have him five.
Wow. Well, that may tell you what you think the Dolphins ultimately need to do. How about the Eagles with the sixth overall pick? Can you compare, and this is a question from Arilano Ton, can you compare Jalen Hurts to the guys that you have on your board of six top quarterbacks?
Well, he'd be similar to maybe a Trey Lance, but I think Trey Lance's throwing is more special than Jalen Hurts. Now, he didn't get to play at Oklahoma and get the coaching of Alabama and do those things. So, you know, that was a huge thing for Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts left Alabama because he wasn't going to play. I mean, his throwing was less than. He got to go to the Big 12 and play at a team that was clearly the best team in the Big 12, and he got to throw the ball 50 times a game, and that really helped his career. So Trey Lance would be that guy. I think Trey Lance is actually faster than Jalen Hurts, and I think Trey Lance, you know, mechanically has less issues than Jalen Hurts. Trey Lance could be a special, special thrower. He can. It's just that it's lack of games, Mike, and there's so many games where, I mean, he only throws the ball like 15 times. It's 2020. It's 2020 or 2019 when he played last, and you're throwing the ball 15, 18 times. You know, that's odd. And that would scare me just a little bit. So, again, I think you'd have to play a certain way, but I think his potential and his ability to throw the football is greater than Jalen Hurts.
Look at that. No losses, yeah. 2019, and no interceptions.
Right.
28 touchdowns, no interceptions. You rarely see that.
Right.
Usually there's one or two. And here's the challenge for the Eagles, because we know how they value the quarterback position, specifically the backup quarterback position, a top 15 spot on the entire roster. With Carson Wentz being traded as of March 17, they need someone else to step in and get the job done. Do you get two guys with similar styles so they're interchangeable and you got one playbook, or do you have a change of pace guy? That's
I hear you.
Part of the conundrum, because there's value in being able to switch from right-handed to southpaw whenever you feel like it, but it's easier for your offense if the number two quarterback, whoever it is, has the same playing style as the starter, because then it's one playbook and nothing changes when the backup comes in.
The coach they hired, Nick Sirianni, they're a throwing coaching staff. They want to drop back and beat people throwing the football. Sirianni came from the Chargers, who threw the hell out of it, and then the Colts. They want to play that style of offense. So within that coaching hire, I would say no. You want a guy that can maximize what these coaches can bring to the table and play this style of football. And to me, that's more of the drop back pass guy. If they decide to draft a quarterback at number six, I'm trading Jalen Hurts. I am. What are you going to do, the same thing again? So the quarterback can struggle and then everybody goes, oh, we should put Jalen Hurts in. And then we can just screw the whole situation up? If I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going, and you do the quarterback thing, I'm going, okay, we're going with this quarterback. And I'm calling the Baltimore Ravens and saying, hey, do you need a really awesome backup quarterback that fits your system and Jalen Hurts? And then, hey, he could probably play some receiver and do some things like that. But yet it goes to what you're saying. That would be my take, just seeing this question and popping it off my head right now.
One more real quick one before we take a break. 49ers question from @NotThePolice. Which of these quarterbacks on your list of the top six do you think Kyle Shanahan, your buddy, your friend, your former college teammate, and the 49ers would like the most?
Well, I think Zach Wilson's the guy that he would like the most. I do. That's the guy for that system. The movement, the crazy deliveries, the power in the arm, all of those things. But I also think like a Mac Jones could fit, you know, a la a better version of a Kirk Cousins in ways coming out of the draft, and could be that guy in that system too, right? I do. I think, you know, coming out of the draft and everything like that, Mac Jones has got a better thrower, a better arm than Kirk Cousins. His size is a little bit better. And again, Mac Jones has this tennis background, right? His feet are unreal. I mean, unreal. Other than Zach Wilson, he has the best feet in the pocket to move and slide and shuffle and do all those things within it. So those would be two guys that I think fit the way Kyle Shanahan would want to play football.
All right, let's take a quick break. Coming up at the top of the hour, something that you're not going to want to miss, not that you want to miss anything that we talk about, a revolutionary proposal to change overtime that I love. We'll see if Chris likes it. That's coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern, second hour of the show. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after. You know, it was 4 years ago that Giselle first put the squeeze on Tommy to walk away after the 28-3 comeback, the Deflategate suspension year, walk away from the game for good. Perfect time, perfect opportunity, perfect chance. Two Super Bowl wins, and 4 years later, he's still going. She's still nudging. That ain't going to go away.
No.
He's found a way to keep going.
Right.
But that extra little tension isn't going to go away, Chris.
No, it's not going to go away. Listen, you're a wife. It's not easy watching your husband out there getting his, you know, butt beaten in, especially at that age. It does take an emotional toll on the wife as well, but I don't think there's any stopping TB12.
Quick break. We'll be back with another hour of PFT Live right after this.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.